Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janavadava Girivardari. Jaya Gopi Janavadava Girivardari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanatari. Yamuna Tira Vanadari. Daya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Vantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Samaveta Bhakta Vrindaki Nithai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Continued readings from Granthada Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 1, Text 15. Shri Shuka Uvacha Samyag Vyavyasita Buddhis Tava Vraja Harshi Sattama Vasudeva Katayam Te Yajjata Naishtiki Ratihi
Shishuka uvacha samyagavyasita buddhis tavarajarchisatama vasudeva katayanam te yajjata naishtikirati Shri Shuka uvacha samyag vyavyasita buddhis tavarajarsi satama vasudeva katayam te yajjata naishtikirati Shishuka uvacha. Shishuka Dev Goswami said, Samyak completely, Vyavasita fixed, Buddhi intelligence, Tava of your majesty, Rajarishi Sattama, O best of the Rajarshis, saintly kings, Vasudeva Katayam, in hearing about the topics of Vasudev, Krishna, Te, your, Yat, because, Jata, developed, Naishtiki, without cessation, Rati, attraction or ecstatic devotional service. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation, Shishuka Dev Goswami said, O your majesty, best of all saintly kings, because you are greatly attracted to topics of Vasudeva, it is certain that your intelligence is firmly fixed in spiritual understanding, which is the only true goal for humanity. Because that attraction is unceasing, it is certainly sublime. Purport. Krishna Katha is compulsory for the Rajarshi, or executive head of government. This is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Imam Rajar Sayo Vidhu. Unfortunately, however, in this age, the governmental power is gradually being captured by third class and fourth class men who have no spiritual understanding. Society is therefore quickly becoming degraded. Krishna Katha must be understood by the executive heads of government, for otherwise, how will people be happy and gain relief from the pangs materialistic life. One who has fixed his mind in Krishna consciousness should be understood to have very sharp intelligence in regard to the value of life. Maharaj Parikshit was Rajarsi Satama, the best of all saintly kings, and Shukadev Goswami was Muni Satama, the best of Munis. Both of them were elevated because of their common interest in Krishna Katha. The exalted position of the speaker and the audience will be explained very nicely in the next verse. Krishna Katha is so enlivening that Maharaj Parikshit forgot everything material, even his personal comfort, in relation to food and drink. This is an example of how the Krishna conscious movement should spread all over the world to bring both the speaker and the audience to the transcendental platform and back home, back to Godhead. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Shrindubhya Evacha Patitanan Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation repeated, Sri Shukadev Goswami said, O your majesty, best of all saintly kings, because you are greatly attracted to topics of Vasudev, it is certain that your intelligence is firmly fixed in spiritual understanding, which is the only true goal for humanity. Because that attraction is unceasing, it is certainly sublime. Hare Krishna, we ask for the blessings, all the wonderful devotees here. Please give your well wishes, prayers. We can try to describe something in this wonderful sequence of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is very important for any hearing and chanting. The audience has to be kind, and hopefully Krishna's mercy make be satisfied by this attempt to glorify the Lord. So we are hearing a nice build-up. It's like you're building the momentum as we go into the 10th canto. And so far we've really, it's just kind of jumped right in. I feel that the classes that we've been having have been very amazing. And we're only still here in the first chapter. So we can just prepare ourselves, but every verse is a unique glorification of the Lord in a particular way. This verse is very nice. The Sanskrit is also not too complex. Samyag vyavasita buddhis tavarar jarsi sattamaha vasudeva katayamte yajgyatva naishtiki ratihi. So because you have this Jata Naishtiki Rati for the Vasudeva Katha, you have a taste, you've developed a firm taste for the topics of Vasudev. Therefore, Samyag Vyavasita Buddhis, your intelligence is fixed. And he's saying, and you are described as the best of saintly kings. So this is the key to getting that, we hear about this spiritual intelligence that develops progressively. But the primary root or the engine is a taste for hearing about topics of Krishna, name, form, qualities, pastimes. That is the engine that drives our whole spiritual life. If we're not attracted to something, then what purpose, why would we go through so many challenges or so many activities, rituals, services, unless we're actually intent upon the goal. We know what the goal is. We want to achieve that goal. So that attraction for hearing about Krishna, the amazing pastimes of Krishna, That is always of primary importance to cultivate. We heard a beautiful class by Mahabodhi Prabhu where he was describing this power. And the goal is to develop that attraction. Prabhupada says here, this is the only true goal for humanity. People don't know that this simple formula, just hearing about someone, can actually solve all of their problems. They're trying to hear about someone, but they don't know who to hear about. If they hear about the king, the modern day king or president, or so many people, but that won't satisfy the mind, that won't pacify, that won't give this fixed in spiritual intelligence. So it's very interesting, Prabhupada is mentioning that the exalted position of the speaker and the audience will be explained very nicely in the next verse. Krishna Katha is so enlivening that Maharaj Prakshit forgot everything material, even his personal comfort in relation to food and drink. This is an example of how the Krishna conscious movement should spread all over the world to bring both the speaker and audience to the transcendental platform and back home, back to Godhead. So he's giving a formula here that Maharaj Parikshit, because of that attraction was there, even his personal comfort in relation to food and drink, he completely forgot that. So our root cause of entanglement is overabsorption in that material aspect of our life, thinking that in order to be happy, I have to satisfy my material necessities. If my material situation is taken care of, then I'll be happy. But this is the diabolical opposite, actually. The truth is that if my conscience is absorbed in Krishna, automatically everything is provided. Krishna maintains. Krishna is the only maintainer. So, because Maharaj Prakshit, he was able to be very rapt in attention, he completely forgot about everything material. And that's actually the solution, as it says here, to come to the transcendental platform, to actually forget. The advanced devotees, they just forget about all their so-called problems and anxieties, and because they're all illusory. They're not actually real. It's not actually of the soul. The soul is eternal, Satchitananda. The soul has no necessity outside of itself, outside of its relationship with Krishna. But Mahabodhi Prabhu made this very nice point that the more we can gauge our spiritual progress, when we start feeling these material necessities, the need for that increase, that's a sign we can see our spiritual progress is a little low. And then when our spiritual strength comes, then these bodily necessities decrease. So this is a good way to monitor. And in our own life, we all have to carefully examine that scenario and sequence and monitor it. Because it's not always a cut and dry formula. Okay, this, in terms of long run practicing Krishna consciousness over, these advanced devotees are practicing for so many years, and they're able to find that balance. So we need to see how much do I need to invest in the material portion so that I can execute devotional service, and how much do I need to exclusively dedicate myself to service so that that material necessity will decrease. It's kind of a finding a balance, actually, that it varies. It varies according to time, place, circumstance, association, services that we're asked to do, places we find ourselves in. So that is our task. But the idea is that the encouragement to come to that transcendental position. So this is described nicely also in relation to the executive heads. It's quite remarkable that Prabhupada is very staunchly promoting that the executive heads, Krishna Katha is compulsory for them. That seems very outlandish in our modern society, to think of Donald Trump, you know, cracking open the Bhagavatam and really getting absorbed. But Prabhupada is saying, actually, this is required for the executive head of the government. Whatever the ruler or the manager or the executive head, however he conducts himself, the common people follow. So, on the other hand, however immoral he acts, then the people take that as standard conduct. And that's very unfortunate, as we see today. Very low-class behavior morality, all these things, and therefore the state becomes affected by that. So Krishna Katha must be understood by the executive heads of government, otherwise how will people be happy and gain relief from the pangs of materialistic life? So Prabhupada always encouraged it has to come from the top, actually. As Subal gave a very nice class describing, it's actually the responsibility of the executives, the governments, to be representatives of God. Again, that seems very strange, because for most of us, all we're ever used to is materialistic, you know, pirating, taking over. We see that in many countries, or even in a democracy where people elect their own leader. But if the people are not of very good conduct, then what type of leader they will elect? So we might ask, is there any hope? What is the hope in such a situation? But we do see some interesting potentials, even in the modern world. For example, in India, it's not uncommon that the governmental leaders will promote Vedic culture, spiritual consciousness. We see that quite regularly, actually. I mean, more occasionally, but for example, the governor of UP, Uttar Pradesh, now he's banning intoxication, meat eating from Mathura and these holy places. And the vice president is now meeting with devotees, coming to ISKCON programs. So we see in India there's still that hope. In the West, it's a little more dreary picture. But there is one devotee, Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, which is quite remarkable. There's even rumor that she might run for election at some point. So that is on the optimism that it is possible. But we see in the pages of the Bhagavatam the true qualities of a king, what the king should be. So I'll read a little bit from the fourth canto. Prithu Maharaj, Prabhupada would glorify, actually just by hearing about Prithu Maharaj, one becomes very purified. This is his qualities. This is text 16. The king will be firmly determined and always situated in truth. He will be a lover of the Brahminical culture and will render all service to old men and give shelter to all surrendered souls. Giving respect to all, he will always be merciful to the poor and innocent. The king will respect all women as mother, and he will treat his own wife as the other half of his body. He will be just like an affectionate father to his citizens, and he will treat himself as the most obedient servant of the devotees, who always preach the glories of the Lord. It goes on to describe that such a king is actually loved by the praja, or the citizens. It's an archetype of having the king, someone who is actually worthy of representing God. It's so glorious. You see in the life of Lord Ram, people are still wanting Ramaraj. They want to have a pious king, or a king who can serve in the capacity of God. That is so inspiring for any citizen. So at our stage, it's only kind of a memory in the pages of Bhagavatam. But we're hearing here such qualities that endear one to his citizens. The king will consider all embodied living entities as dear to his own self, and he will always be increasing the pleasures of his friends. He will be intimately associated with liberated persons, and he will be a chastising hand to all impious persons. Prithu Maharaj is described as a Shakti Vesha avatar, so he's actually bearing the full potency of Krishna to rule. It says, being a liberated soul and completely learned, he sees all material varieties as meaningless because their basic principle is nescience. So I'll read a little bit from this purport. Prabhupada quotes 5:18, Vidya Vinaya Sampane, Brahmine Kavihastini, Sunichaiva Svapakicha Pandita Samadarshana. That the humble sage, he doesn't see these different bodies, but rather he sees the pure soul within the varieties of dress, and knows very well the varieties of dress are the creation of nescience. Being a Shaktivesh avatar, empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prithu Maharaj did not change his spiritual position and consequently there was no possibility of his viewing the material world as reality. So this is actually the problem, and this is the root cause of all of the impropriety, the degradation, that people are viewing the material world as reality. The executive heads, they're thinking, I can accumulate all of the power and wealth, and I can keep that with me. But they don't have this transcendental knowledge to see that, no, this material world is illusory. They're viewing it as reality. So similarly, in our own, as we're describing this kind of struggle that we find ourselves, if we're able to embrace that philosophical point that this world is not reality, it's not the absolute, the ultimate reality, then we can go deeper into pushing ourselves to come to that level of more absorption in Krishna consciousness, hearing, chanting, serving, less absorption in taking care of these material necessities, which more deeply root us in that material concept of life, that illusory conception of life. This is also described in the Bhagavad Gita, because this verse, as you may have considered the first line of this verse, it sounds very much like a verse from Bhagavad Gita. Vyavasayat mika buddhi. Ekeha kurunandana bahushaka hinantascha buddhayo vyavasayinam. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. So that's what's desirable, to have that very singular focus. That is actually required. Mahabuddhi Prabhuddhi called it do or die. We realize that this is what I want, this is the goal, this is what I have to strive for. And everything else has to be pushed aside. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. Again, if we're putting our investments in so many different baskets, the material concept of life, material happiness, then what happens? That's described. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. So that seed can actually fructify as long as there is this interest, this irresolute determination, placing our consciousness in so many other extraneous things. But Krishna says, the Vedas deal mainly with the subject of the three modes of material nature. Become transcendental to these modes, be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the self. So that is, in one sense, the essence of the message of the Gita, be established in your true self, eternal servant of Krishna. And that is achieved, or that is assisted by this attraction for hearing about Krishna. And therefore Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam to give us that impetus, that the fuel for making this difficult actual progress in spiritual life. It's a complete shift from our material conditioning, our whole material existence. It takes a lot of strength to actually reach where we want to go. We have a very high goal. We have a very lofty goal, actually. So there is something else I could go into as well, but I think I'll just stop here because that's all I more or less have to say about this particular verse and purport. I'll just see if anyone wants to add anything or discuss anything in that regard. Okay. Sarva Pama Prabhu.
In the word for word, it's got right at the end, it has rati, and then it says attraction or ecstatic devotional service. Every time I ever heard Prabhupada give a lecture on this, he said for, not or.
This particular verse, every time you heard.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Every time you heard a lecture on this specific verse, he says four.
When Prabhupada gave a class on this verse, he never said or. He never said or, he always said four.
Well, I would encourage you to take that up with the BBT. You could write them a letter.
See, they're demons. They're all demons.
That's a sarcastic joke.
Since time immemorial, more elemental societies, the people, the Rayarsis, Satamas, that has this attribute, were the rulers, but they never ruled by force, but by inspirations in the same way.
Who are you talking about? I didn't catch the beginning. More elemental leaders?
Societies. In the more elemental societies, in more simpler societies, inclusively nowadays, in indigenous people, the rulers have these saintly attributes, and they do not rule by force, by inspiration. Their subjects are inspired to follow him because they inspire the people to do stuff. See what I'm saying? The society is organized in such a way that the rulers, it is called this superstructure, all the philosophical and governmental rules, all the abstract, it was all was taken by people that has these attributes, not the Rayarsi Satama attribute, the qualities of this saintly person. In the same way, no, but government now, it's a different story. No, that is just, that it strokes me. That is, from time immemorial, this is happening in some societies, including nowadays, that the elder are the ones that pass on all this knowledge, all these attributes of the society, how to behave, how to, the cohesive bond of our society is through ethical and philosophical and religious inspiration. That's all what I wanted to say.
Thank you for that. I think that is commendable. At the same time, there is probably there's a little difference. In one sense, we can see the similarity, but at the same time, someone here like a Rajarsi Satama, outside of the Vedic culture, we don't see someone who's actually so elevated in spiritual purity. A Rajarshi means he's a king, but he's a rishi, he's a pure devotee. So he can rule on behalf of Krishna. So giving inspiration, that's good, but also the question is what type of inspiration? The Bhagavatam is very strict that unless one is presenting pure devotion, then it's a form, even it may be morally valuable or commendable, unless it's pure bhakti, it won't actually facilitate the souls going back to Godhead. So there are certainly inspirational, speakers and leaders, and they can, but can they give the real function, which is to guide them back to Godhead? And that more or less is only available coming from a pure disciplic succession. But the Bhagavatam is so powerful that through its mass distribution, Prabhupada would say that this movement will go down in history as having saved humanity in its greatest hour of need. So we don't know. We have no idea what the future will hold. That these books, they may very well bring some revolution, and we can only imagine the potential. So thank you, Prabhu. Yes,
so to add to the very nice point that you're giving in response to his question, the reason I brought up this little tiny thing, I admit it's small, or it says it should be four, is because I was telling Subal yesterday that I'm finally free from the internet.
Haribo.
I sabotaged all my passwords, so I have no choice. I can't get back on. But on the internet, especially on Facebook, there's so many thousands of devotees, and there's a good portion of them that are going crazy and complaining about Prabhupada. We can't change one word. If we change even one word, you know, we're all going to hell. So that's why I brought up this point. You know, they'll zero in on something like for or, and they'll say, which was it? What did Prabhupada actually say? And then actually all they're really doing is they're identifying themselves in the process of trying to point out and complain about other offenders. They only identify themselves as the greatest offenders, because and the best answer for their complaint is to ask them to look at the first and the fourth offense to the holy name. Number one, we should never blaspheme great devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagation of the holy name of the Lord. And number four, we can't blaspheme Vedic literatures, or you know, that are in pursuance of the Vedic version. Or, you know, any literature. That would even include other scriptures that you know, Prabhupada recognized that there is good knowledge and wisdom in all the scriptures. So they're in pursuance of the Vedic version. So we have to be really careful about that. And then the final argument is, if you look in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's 111, chapter 11, verse 5, is the one that says, even though irregularly composed, still brilliant beyond compare.
Except just by men who are thoroughly honest.
Yeah, so these people are dishonest because they're trying to grasp a moment of self-righteous indignation. They're relishing an opportunity to be self-righteously indignant about something that they're trying to tag with a high level of importance. But, you know, Prabhupada said our relationships with one another, as we're all together pursuing knowledge, is much more important than you know, criticizing on minor details like this. So anyway, that was why I was trying to make a joke about for or.
In Kali Yuga, there's practically unlimited pitfalls and traps for the aspiring sadhaka of pure devotion. It's very difficult, actually. Maya will come up with so many ways to test, from the very beginning till the very end, from the very high levels. So she has, you know, she's riding on a tiger, her form with 10 arms. She's got a club, swords, bows and arrows. It's very, if you just saw it, you would think, how is that even possible? But by taking shelter of Krishna and getting the taste for hearing about Krishna, by virtue of that taste, one can be protected. When there's a taste for hearing and chanting, then one doesn't have time for all of the politics and the fault-finding. That's what exactly the verse is saying, is that these things are forgotten when there's actual positive engagement. But if there's a lack of that, then all these material concerns and worries, faults, they overcome that bhakti creeper. They cloud the consciousness and they prevent the real growth. So that we should always be on guard. Thank you, Prabhu. Anyone else want to? Question, comment? Okay. Giridhar, you want to? Mataji?
It's not a question. I'm just adding one point that Dravida Prabhu, when he was here, he was explaining that when there's errors or seeming errors in translation, that it had a lot to do with persons that were doing the translation and not being able to understand Srila Prabhupada's accent, and so filling in some things. And so a lot of the work has been re-looked at. and in conjunction with the hearing again, so that, and that's how corrections are being made. So it's a simple thing, it was error on the part of the person not being able to understand perfectly. That's what Ravida Prabhu explained.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Hare.
I'm thinking about this point of kind of the essence of the class is that like hearing about Krishna and hearing the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam actually solves all the problems that as the yesterday's verse too, like diminishes all the sufferings of the age of Kali just by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. And you mentioned the point of how like all material, try to fix material, your material situation, but it'll never like it'll never be fixed. So, and if you don't like hear about Krishna, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, but you only focus on this, like always trying to make your material situation perfect, and it doesn't happen. But just by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, your consciousness is transformed, and then that's my experience is too. Just if I get, when I get time to read the Bhagavatam extended, my consciousness is in the right place. Everything makes sense. It's like the situation that we're in is perfectly described in the purports and the verses, and it's just like everything kind of makes sense after you read the Srimad Bhagavatam. Whereas if you don't and you just try to fix something without that, then it's just continuously like patching holes and things like that. So I guess kind of maybe a question would be like, so you continuously hear, but that also doesn't mean like neglecting like the material situation necessarily. Like its primary is like hearing and chanting, and without that, but as we see, like devotees who maintain their Krishna consciousness for a long time, they also take care of themselves pretty well, but still with a primary attention on hearing and chanting. I don't know if you have any comments.
Yeah, the Bhagavatam is Krishna in literary form. So it's described to Kanishtha Adhikari, he sees Krishna as the deity. But the more advanced devotees, they see Krishna all around. And through the book form, actually you can get even more than generally is described from seeing the deity, because the book has the instruction. So many different people can come and stand before the deity, but what are they seeing? They may see so many different things based on their level of consciousness. And they may see just a mirror of what's going on in their own mind. They may be praying for material things, but the Bhagavatam is a form of Krishna that actually speaks to us and gives transcendental knowledge. So making a regular sadhana of that, as you're saying, that's kind of how those devotees have found that balance, making very regular Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And then the Bhagavatam, since it purifies us, then Krishna gives the intelligence how to maintain those material things. It comes from him. If it comes from us, so many speculations and trying to figure it out, then we're missing, and we'll never be able to figure out the best way to take care of our problems. But if we serve Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, if we serve the Bhagavatam, then Krishna will give us that realization, that intelligence. Mahabodhi Prabhu, he quotes, Dadami Bodhi Yogam Tam. Tesham satate yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupendi. When the sadhana is done nicely, then Krishna gives the inspiration, the idea. So, thanks, Rahul. Okay, anyone else? Okay.
Yeah, just to add to today's verse, that is how it is described that the it is certain that your intelligence is firmly fixed. So how to, you know, our intelligence becomes sharp when we hear or discuss about Krishna Katha. So there is a nice verse I want to share, that Vasudeva Parabheda, Vasudeva Paramakha, Vasudeva Parajoga, Vasudeva Parakriya, Vasudeva Param Jnanam, Vasudeva Paratapa, Vasudeva Paradharma, Vasudeva Paragati. Translation: in this revealed scripture, the ultimate object of knowledge is Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. The purpose of performing sacrifice is to please Him. Yoga is for realizing Him. All fruitive activities are ultimately rewarded by Him only. He is the supreme knowledge, and all severe austerities are performed to know Him. Religion, dharma, is rendering loving service unto Him. He is the supreme goal of life. So this is what Sutta Goswami instructs to sages of Naima Sarana. So that means how the, see, if you scrutinizingly analyze, if you read simply Krishna book, so one senior devotee was telling the Devakinandan Prabhu, and he was telling that if you read three times at least, or seven times, I think three or seven times he told, about Krishna book, liberation is granted. And that means in each page that book you see very nicely all activities of Krishna with so much reasoning, so much, you know. So whatever activities Krishna did, there is certain some reason is there, transcendental reason. If you reveal, you know, if you reveal to your heart, you know. Knowledge. Yes.
Many different approaches, but just directly telling people also about Krishna is okay. That's also authorized. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave that formula. Whomever you meet, whoever you see, just tell them about Krishna. Prabhupada would say, see this young Saraswati? She knows Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the purport of this verse. And as we heard yesterday, the whole Bhagavatam, Krishna is the original. So people want to hear about Krishna. They want to know what is God. Sometimes we have many ways that we are going to help them. But it's not so far-fetched when we tell people that actually, what is God in a few senses. And that can actually mitigate all of their lack in life, because they don't have a personal conception of God. They go to the church or the mosque or wherever they go, and they hear about some all-powerful being that has no form, something they can't connect with, or something theoretical or something dogmatic. But we have Krishna. Everyone is attracted to Krishna. Krishna is all attractive. So whoever they are, just by hearing about Krishna, by sharing about Krishna, that is our treasure. That's our gift. And people want to hear. They want to know what is God. So therefore, along with hearing and chanting is distributing. And that will purify us and give the shakti or energy that when we do the hearing and chanting, Krishna is pleased. So thank you all very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Shishi Kishor Kishori ki, Nitai Gaura Prema. Ah, okay. Hare Krishna